All right, Halacha Bet, Perek Zion. What do we got?
So the king ripped his thing, and now Elisha's like, okay, fine, so I'll help you guys out.
That's a good question. How come Elisha wasn't there earlier? I don't know. But he does now come. All right? This is what we mentioned the other day, that salvation can come chazal beherafayim, in the blink of an eye. And that was one of our complaints about Gehazi. Gehazi felt, oh, here's a way for me to make some money. And the Navi's word says, like, that's what you worried about? Money can happen in a second. And over here, you see it. The situation of Am Yisrael changes in overnight. All right? There were skeptics, as there always are. But we see what happened to the skeptic. Right?
The people say that these lepers were Gehazi, no?
Oh, I want to come back to that. Yes. Yes, good.
And I remember I was in Rav Chaim, one of Rav Chaim's classes, and he... Rav Chaim mentioned... He asked that, why did the king send out five scouts? Like, what, five scouts to scout this whole camp? I don't know. To scout the entire land until Jordan? So he said, like, why only five scouts?
Well, he said he only had five horses. That's what it said in there. So there are only five horses they had left.
No. Okay, fine.
So then maybe I hear it was meaning.
Let them take five of the remaining horses that are still in the city.
No, five know. Of the remaining horses.
Ah, okay.
Also, why are there horses?
What? Why are there horses?
I thought there's a famine. Why are they not?
Why didn't
eating,
they?
They're eating
eat
people,
it?
But they won't eat horses.
Yeah, that's my.
Nice first of all, not they eating people. There were two women that were eating people.
Oh.
Even during the Holocaust, most people did not do go down to cannibalism. The truth is, I don't know if they realized that they probably would have been worse for them because their bodies were so diseased. Eating, a diseased body probably would have killed them quicker, but it hardly happened. Just like suicide hardly happened, which is interesting. They suffered so much, but it was rare.
They were in Auschwitz. They said that every day there would be like women.
Oh, that they wouldn't get out of bed. That's true. That's
no,
true. They wouldn't get out of bed.
Run into the fence.
I run the fence. I take back suicide. There was there wasn't cannibalism, and there wasn't. It was something else. Wasn't cannibalism. There was one other thing. There's a guy in my community, Yecheskel Lichtenstein. He's written a lot of svarim on the Holocaust, and he had a chapter about this and something else. I remember because in Lodz, right outside the cemetery, there is this place where Rob Krieger speaks about like, these particular people. They ate a horse, and most people didn't. They wouldn't do that. Although in the movie Defiance, they do that, right? At the end, he kills the horse to feed the people. No one saw Defiance?
No, it's a classic.
It's a classic. All right, good.
No, I think I actually just realized. They said, let's send five, and he's like, no, let's send two. That, I think, was his question.
Right. Why send two and a five? I don't know. Do you remember what he said?
There was some stuff.
Some mystical...
There are a lot of stuff.
Leshem...
No, this had to do with the Gilgal Eliyahu and why he had done... Why he even had this... Why didn't he trust these guys had their telling the truth?
Okay.
So
I don't
know. It had to do with that.
What else? What else we got here?
It says there was no human noise and there was no man noise. I don't know if that's just like the way the... Pasuk speaking, it says in Pasuk 10, Yud, it says, not a man or a human sound is there.
There was no person or the sound of a person. We couldn't even hear people talking.
So it didn't see, so that meaning it's not true.
We didn't see anyone. We couldn't hear anyone. It's like they were hiding. We don't hear anyone.
Also, their horses are there, and the
right.
And the donkeys are there, but they thought the chiti came, and then
so
the
we're
gonna
get came,
and they're not going to take their
so
donkeys.
Let's see the whole thing. Ready? Look back at Vayikra Yud Gimel Pasuk Mem Vav. Read that. See, all right, you can beat up Roman.
Vayikra
Yud Gimel Mem Vav, 1346.
I already got it. It's okay.
Oh, my God. How?
I think
I got it. He keeps his finger there on the tab, yeah?
46? All the D's?
Yeah.
36 or 46?
46.
1346. All the days that the affliction is upon him, and he shall remain contaminated. He is contaminated. He shall dwell in isolation, and his dwelling shall be outside the camp. So that's why they were outside.
Okay, I don't think you read the right pasuk.
Oh, Memvav.
Oh, maybe you did? Okay, you. 1346, there you go. Okay. So what do we see? No, you're right. So what is. If you have Tzarat, what do you have to do?
Stay outside the camp.
Okay. You're kicked out of the Machaneh. So that explains what happened in our perek. In our perek, Am Yisrael are under siege. And it's tough. But who's it even tougher for? These four Mitzorayim who aren't even inside to possibly get what scraps are left in the city. Okay, why are they outside? That's what Torah says, they have to be outside. Now, what miracle stopped the famine in the Shomron? What miracle happens?
Here?
Yeah.
Their enemies die?
No.
Their enemies
aren't dead. They run away. Like, here's this crazy thing. There's a siege. And they hear sounds of an approaching army. And they decide, oh, you know what that must be? The king of Israel must have gotten some messenger out with money, bribed some other armies to come and attack us. And they've already decided that they're being attacked, they're surrounded, they run away, don't have time to pack up anything, run away, expecting, you know, an attack by an affiliate of the Israeli army, the Chittim and the Mitzrim, and they leave the camp standing as is, without a soul there. So what ethical dilemma is presented to the Mitzorayim?
Do we take off ourselves, or, you know, we've been kicked out of the camp? Why should we go and tell them?
At first, human nature takes over, and they start stuffing their mouths and stuffing their pockets, even start finding hiding places, and then all of a sudden they realize they all still think that there's a siege. You know, from the city, everyone's looking for their binoculars, and they see that there is a camp all around them. There's horses hitched to the post. There's tents. You know, they say, we're surrounded. We can't even leave the walls of the city. We'll be killed. And yet, there's no one here. They're starving for no reason. So the Mitzorayim go back and they bring about a salvation. Now, look at...
How do they go back, though? If they're Mitzorayim, they can't go back.
They go back and they yell to the guard at the gate. Right? Read Tet Zion and then Yud Zion. Say, what do we have here in Tet Zion? Like God said. And the very next pasuk says, So once again, we see that when Elisha speaks, it's Isha Lokim. It's the same thing. Right? First was the fulfillment of the Nevuah. That there's going to be overnight. What Hashem say? Overnight there'll be an abundance of food. And then what was Elisha's Nevuah? That like, you won't get to enjoy it.
Like Eliyahu.
Right? You, Mr. Skeptical, you'll see it, but you won't get to enjoy it. So there's two separate things that are going on here. One, the abundance of food, and then for mocking God's word, Elisha pronounced, you know, a death sentence on this guy, and he dies. Now, as I said, the important lesson that we learn in this parak is that a situation could change overnight. I'll tell you another very important lesson. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik quotes this parak. Says, one of the arguments that people have about the state of Israel is that it was formed by a bunch of Avi Karson. How in the world could this be the ending of the Galut, the Atchalt de Geula, who was brought about by Avi Karson? Right? You know, Galus is an onish for our sins. Wouldn't you assume that when we change the situation, it'll be brought about through tzaddikim, who bring about tshuva, and not by people who are self-professed Avi Karson, that don't believe in God, do it for nationalistic reasons? How could they be the shaliach of Hashem? So, said Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, he didn't say it in these words, he says, Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't write the Torah. I'm sorry, Art Scroll didn't write the Torah, Kadosh Baruch Hu did. See, if Art Scroll is writing the Torah, then obviously only tzaddikim would be involved, and anything good is only a tzaddik. But guess what? We have Arba Mitzorah in. We know that anyone at Sarat already is a Rasha. It's a punishment. Gemara in Erechim lists several different punishments, Lashon Hara being the most famous, but it's a punishment for sins. Chazal go further, and as Avrami said before, it's Gehazi and his sons. And we've already said before, Chazal abhors a vacuum. They don't like to leave any like anonymous people. And therefore, if we have anonymous people who play a key role, we like to give them names. Right? So we know if Avraham tells his Nar to help him, it's Ishmael. We know that if Yosef runs into an Ishma, speak Gavriel, the angel. We know that it's got to be somebody important, that someone we've met, and it can't be just Stam people. But here, I think more than any other time, it makes sense. The last parak, we have Gehazi being stricken with Tzarat for having turned on Elisha, ruined the Kiddush Hashem of Elisha, just doing God's bidding, asking for money, getting Tzarat. It says, you and your children. And now what do we have? We have four Mitzaraim. To drive the point home even more, if you look right at the beginning of the next parak, it says in Pasuk, where is it? Pasuk Vav, Pasuk Dalet. Amelch medaber on Gehazi, Nari Shalokim Leimor. King is in the middle of talking to Gehazi when this thing happened. Why in the world would the king be talking to Gehazi, Mr. Tzarat? What's his connection? Oh, quite obvious. Because Gehazi was the person that saved them. And now, he's there and the king is saying, tell me more about the crazy things that Elisha has done. Since you've hung out with them. Like, it was crazy. Yesterday he said, we're all starving. He goes, oh, tomorrow there'll be such an abundance of food that for a shekel you get a kilo of flour. With which the guy says, even if it's not raining all through the night, we're not going to have a kilo of flour overnight. That's a ridiculous thing. And guess what? It happened exactly like he said. So tell me more. So it makes sense. Gehazi, the parak right before this. Gehazi, the parak right after this. As Chazal said, who is this Mitzora and his kids? It's none other than Gehazi, which makes the point even stronger from Aaron Talmudic's point. Gehazi, as we said, the Mishnah says, Ein lo chelek l'maba, and he brings about a salvation. So you're upset that some of the early Zionist leaders, you know, weren't Shomer Mitzvot. Right? Someone, there was a story that I once heard where someone mentioned the name Ben Gurion, and someone there said, Yimach Shemo v'zichro, to which the Chazon Ish says, tell me, if Ben Gurion's brother would die childless, if Ben Gurion would die childless, would his brother have a chiv of Yibam? And the guy said, Mistama, yeah. So he says, oh, where there it says, you have to be make him zera achiv. You have to try to go about to bring up, to sustain your, and you're saying, Yimach Shemo v'zichro, it should be blotted out. Clearly, no, you're overstepping it, you know. Here, the heroes were people that we wouldn't have necessarily chosen. We don't know how Kodesh Baruch Hu does things. Right? We don't understand how he does things. Did we say once that there's a beautiful idea of Rav Teichtel about why he brought, I think we said this, why he brought the seed of Mashiach through the relationship of David and Bathsheba?
We said it.
Or Yehuda and Tamar, or something like that. Rav Teichtel quoted the Noam Elimelech. The Noam Elimelech says that if you want to smuggle something through customs, so you don't keep it in its box, brand new. They open up and go, hey, okay, you can't just bring this in, right? So what do? Take it out of the box. You throw it in like, you know, a dirty sock, all the laundry stuff. And you hope the guy that opens it goes, smells, whoa, okay, thanks, move right ahead, you know? That's how you get past customs. Said the Noam Elimelech, that's how Kodesh Baruch Hu got the ancestor of Mashiach into this world. Am Yisrael wasn't worthy. Kodesh Baruch Hu did it in a way where the Midas HaDin wasn't even watching. Looked around and said, well, Yehuda's like sleeping with his sister, with his daughter-in-law, I think she's a prostitute. All right, I don't even have to pay attention to that scenario. Nothing important is going to happen there. And that's where the ancestor of David HaMelech and Mashiach comes. Said Rav Teichtel and Eim HaBanim Smecha, so too here. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, I need to save Am Yisrael. Are they worthy? No. If I say I want to save Am Yisrael, the Midas HaDin is going to say to me, what? What did they do to deserve it? So I'm going to sneak it through the back door. I'm going to bring it about in such a way where no one will be suspicious. No one will be thinking, oh, something big is going to come from this. But this is how I'm going to do it. And he uses people that we wouldn't suspect these are going to be the messengers that bring about the Geula. Anyway, stop over here, pick it up, next paragraph.